So Paul Raphael is our next guest. He's a friend to the show, and I'm actually a little sad about the fact that we're inviting him back, because Paul obviously is the owner of Nomu Brands and a diehard patriotic South African who is as invested in our success as a nation as he is in his own business. But I was saying to the producers yesterday, let's call Paul because I think he's quite emotive or quite invested in this. But at the same time, one of the last times we spoke to him was when we went to Stage 6 load shedding, and we're talking about how it impacted his business. Paul, don't take it the wrong way that we call you when things go wrong in the country. Welcome back to Breakfast with Rufile. How are you doing?
Well, listen, thank you so much for having me back again, although you took the words right out of my mouth. I hate that we keep meeting this way.
Exactly. You know? But anyway. I love that how invested you are in the country, because when you're frustrated, it's not just about you. But I'm very curious to hear, how has this Transnet hack affected you?
Rufile, listen, I mean, we are beset, like all small businesses. I mean, Nomu is far from unique. We have all the usual challenges and obstacles to deal with, obviously. You know, if it's not Eskom, if it's not trade disruption, if it's not rapacious local competitional behavior, whatever, you know, all the usual things. But the one thing that South Africa is amazing at, really, is actually exporting as well. So when it comes to accessing raw materials, getting packaging, getting ingredients, it's hard enough already just trying to get the stuff in. But now when you're looking at the next period of hopeful recovery, you know, you want to be optimistic. You want to say, you know what, we'll be able to do what we can here. But, you know, ultimately, perhaps if maybe you're a hot chocolate company, you look forward towards the Northern Hemisphere's winter period.
Yes.
But if all the ports and harbors are blocked up and simply inactive, then you are looking at a very unhelpful, if I can be euphemistic, you know, a very unhelpful couple of months ahead, when you simply cannot take your products out of the market to where you know there is existing demand. And we've been building our audience overseas through what was a very difficult year last year. We've done a hell of a lot to improve our Amazon presence. You know, we've found new export partners. We have a hugely exciting new contract that we've just picked up in Ireland, where we're hoping to process their first order within the next couple of weeks. So
amazing.
It would be amazing, but I have to sit on a Teams chat with them yesterday and say, guys, you may have read the news, which they all have. Mm. You know, you may have heard that the ports are in a bit of a state, which they all have. It's dispiriting and it's demoralizing. But, you know, what do you do, I suppose?
So, Paul, we spoke to Mike just now, who obviously represents a number of freight forwarders, the likes of which you actually happen to be. And he spoke about how, like, okay, we're now moving containers and stuff. And I want to know, practically, from your perspective, how possible is that to move that fast, right? It's only been a week. And as I mentioned, I realized I needed to zoom in, but I now have downloaded the My Ship Tracking app, and I do look at the number of ships around the Western Cape, and it's not a lot. How practical is it for you to say to those Thai customers, to those guys who are waiting for you on the other side of Amazon, it's going to get to you, I'm going to use a completely different route? Because my imagination, of course, tells me that once you've created your supply chain partnership, you can't just jump. It's not like flights, right? You can't just jump from one route to the other. And how practically and how quickly can you change your route?
The answer is it's not practical and it's not quick. You know, last year we already had a situation where most of the major shipping lines, 3 out of the 8 biggest international lines, said quite openly they were going to bypass Cape Town purely because the port had become so inefficient to deal with, so hopelessly incapable that they would. This was before the Suez crisis. You know, and they basically said, look, we're not going to go via Cape Town at all. So you're going to have to transship from PE or Durban, which would then add another week or so to your shipping. Now, if you're supplying to a customer in the UK, whereas previously you might have been able to promise 2.5 to 3.5 weeks in shipping, because all of those new routes that would now go completely past the Cape don't go direct anymore, that suddenly shot up to 8 weeks in transit.
Jeepers.
So now that was already last year. That was prior to this sort of pseudo coup, the pseudo insurrection, which had all sorts of other knock-on effect. But how are we able to tell a customer in Ireland, for example? I mean, that's the one that's right in front of us right now. We have an incredibly tight line on production there, because they have customers that expect it delivered by a certain date. You now have to go back to their corporate retail chain customer and say, you've given us a launch window of whenever it is at the end of the year. Well, I'm sorry. You know, it may take an extra like 2, perhaps 3, maybe 4 weeks. And that's the real problem. There is a real lack of cement, of concrete, excuse the pun, but there's nothing solid in any of it for anybody at the moment. It's difficult, I believe, to give anyone a firm answer. So if you're a small or a big brand trying to get stuff out of the country, it's the flimsiness of the proposition that makes it most unnerving. I mean, I spoke to somebody last week who told me he had literally 16,000 tons of fresh produce in KZN and Gauteng that was now stuck immobile and not going anywhere. So I'm glad to hear that some of it is moving. But if you are a small-scale manufacturer of felt skinner or a, as it turns out, premium manufacturer of hot chocolate, you know, and it's small independent, all you really have in front of you is a, you know, stand in line, buddy, and just wait your turn, which, you know, if you are, if you're Amazon, they really don't care about that. So, you know, it's how thick is your skin, stubborn are you, how long can you hold your breath? And the problem is for most of us, we've been holding our breath for government.
For over a year, for a long time.
Yeah, a little more than a year, I'd say.
Yeah, actually.
But, yeah.
Sure. Yeah. Paul,
yeah,
this very helpful perspective for us. Thank you. I'm sorry I don't have answers, but we definitely are going to get some accountability on this.
Just please keep drinking skinny hot chocolate.
For sure. Nomu skinny hot chocolate is the one. In this weather, it's perfect. Thank you so much. Paul Raffaele, co-owner and director at Nomu Brand.